wanna be the best in the game. Invest in my name. Check no restraints. I'm obsessed with the pain. I ingest, I retain. Assess and I change. Possessed by the thought I'll be free one day from society's restraints. Money, clout, and fame. A disease, a plague. We all love to hate. Have to play the game. Have to make a name. All our insecurities are on display.
This is war with the enemy. Think that it was meant to be. Living in a time.
Hello and welcome, listener, to another episode of Tactical Awareness. It's season 2, episode 6. Mailbag Madness. We're hanging out today talking about the Slow Grow Escalation League games, catching up on the news, and what each of us is doing. So let's see what's going on with Owen and Dan and get this underway.
Talk about all the pano I painted.
Is it Japan with Japano?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I painted much of Hackathon, and that's why we started recording, because we're literally just doing the podcast without actually recording any of it. And hey, everybody, welcome to another Tackleware that is just two people, because it's just me and Owen tonight. Dan is MIA. He might show up later. We don't know. Anything could happen. And we were just midway through a conversation what we're doing this week, and I realized that we weren't actually recording. So we're gonna, Owen's gonna have to listen to me talk about it all again. And we're arguing about what the highlights are for the army I'm starting, because I just finished painting 9 Hassassin Bra miniatures, my first ever Hakaslan miniatures. And they range from the ancient, I painted a first edition Asawira and Delami, to the ultra modern, because I just painted Yar Hadad as well. So my first 9 models were my first 150 points for the Escalation League. And we were just talking about the Sundik, but your favorite boy, because I'm trying to figure out if I should order a Blackwind or convert one out of a Cosmo from Aristea, because he'll kind of look like the Shakush then, and I'm kind of into that, and I'll have like a unique Sundik butt and not have to buy everything in that box, because that box is 54 euro. And I don't know, do I need the other one? Do I need the, like, I feel like I should get the actual Operation Blackwind set instead, because I gave all that stuff to Jordan when we split the box set. Because what do I get in Operation in Beyond Black when I get a Sundik butt? I get a Shuje. Do I care about the Hassassin Shuje?
No.
No, I don't think so.
You might, but also no.
And a Muyib Spitfire.
Yeah, he's great. Can't go wrong with Muyib.
No, Muyibs are great. You're right.
Muyibs are on that list of like, wow, this guy's awesome. Never brought a single one in my games.
Problem is, I already have half of this box painted, because I split it already, right? So
do you have the Spitfire one? Because he's Tackleware too. That's his jam. I know. He's Tackleware X Visor.
Well, I gave the other half of this box already to Jordan.
I see what you're saying.
Right. So like I have I'm literally buying this for 2 models then, because I don't think I want the Shuje either. But I do kind of want the Sundik butt, but I could also just convert the Sundik butt. And make it. And
Shuji's a cool model.
Yeah, Shuji's a cool model. I don't know. Do I need a Sonic butt? Because we were just talking about how the Operation Blackwind and the Beyond Blackwind kind of like lean into all of the janky stuff that Assassins do now. And you're making the argument that the Sonic butt is the premier
arrow piece. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that I recognize that it's all he does. Like you give up your active turn. But like when you consider that the Sin Eater, who's like 34 points and has that sniper and MSV, like I think a Sundug but beats the shit out of an intruder.
Yeah, I mean he beats the shit out of everybody because he effectively has a viral Spitfire.
Right? Yeah,
like he's +1 damage, +1 burst for the final rifle. Obviously, he doesn't have the Spitfire ranges, but because you can just corner watch with him in that knife range of 16, he fights in his optimal range at all time. And he also doesn't have a 0 range up close. So if you get within 8 of him, he still brawls.
Which 4 dice on 7s is not bad.
Especially when if one of them lands, you're basically dead.
Like that's the thing. It's like
damage 14 against BTS. Like even tags are scared of that because their BTS is never that high unless they're called a
Yoko. And it's also 2 dice rolls every time.
That's what I mean, right? Like it's lower stat and 2 dice rolls.
Yeah, the fact that like, because like you think like, okay, it doesn't have the long range, but even if they don't have a marker state like a camo or something, like some kind of mimetism, you're hitting on 7s up to like 32.
Yeah, it's the fact he's 40. He's a 6th of your army, and he might be the last guy standing that then has to go and like clear his zone so someone can push a button. I'm always thinking about that. I'm always thinking about
he's
like,
never the last guy standing because you're covered in like camo and cheap guys who are
around. You're right. Yeah, I know. You got fidets and
like you could have a fide just sit there and never do anything the entire game and go, okay, time for me to go finish the job.
Yeah. I want that half of the Black Wind box now. I want that that the Bucktar, because I also really want the Bucktar. I want to make all the pieces that you didn't like work this season. Like, that's really where I think my brain is at. I'm just being contrarian. Like, because yeah. I agree with you about everything you say about the army, but I also want you to be wrong about these other pieces, and I want to make them work.
And the thing is, I'm actually not, I don't think that they won't work. It's just, there's a part of me that goes like, I think the way I'm doing it is more optimized.
That's it. You cannot take the best. Yeah.
And like
you could
go a different style. And like I did, I had an alt list that didn't play up all of the jank. It did it its own way, where it was like double ass Awira link teams. Yeah. That's pretty good regardless.
I remember helping you write that list. Imagine you could just show up to Golden Carbonite this year with your list from last year.
It'd be great if you just brought the same two lists. just like, yeah, let's see if it works again.
And see what happens. Yeah. And you're playing double Yotam, double
round two.
That's right. Let them.
How do you win B-Pong? Two Yotams. Fuck off.
Just show up like a fucking like liquid leukemia just rolling into the event. Yeah, I don't know. I like the Bucktar though. Like he's so cool because he's basically a sending pot with parachutist and a visor and mim. And he dodges on 16s. Oh my god, dodging on 16s is amazing. Yeah.
But then someone shoots him on their turn and he dies.
No, because he just presses with his mimetism and cover. As most we want.
Spending orders to not do anything.
Yep.
Right? Like that's how it is for me.
The option to switch then. Yeah, you have to move around. No matter how cool your doctors are, they can't help poor Sunday. They have to bring a shitty engineer to help him. He's got no comeback to lives.
You gotta whip 14 engineer for 15 points.
I mean
he gizmo kits on 14s.
I get it. I'm a fixed thing. I know he's good. We all know he's good.
You gotta do four wounds to kill him.
Yeah, I know. It's Shakusha clock then. Just lean into the Shakusha instead. Make Shakush great. Make him happy.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the Shakusha is really contrarian.
Marginally better than a Sunduk, but
you're only 2 points more than a Bucktar.
I actually think the Shakush is worse than the active turn Sunduk, but
I think you're technically correct. I think he hits a bit harder.
The 51-point AP Spitfire,
yeah,
is very close. He just doesn't have the plus one damage. They hit the same damage. The Shakush gets one extra BS compared to the Sunduk Butt.
It's 15 with the Spitfire as opposed to 14 for the Power Rifle.
But the Sunduk Butt has a Spitfire that it can bring as well. Like if you brought the AP Spitfire Sunduk Butt,
the active one with the same stats.
Yeah, well, you bring the AP Spitfire shotgun because that's the equivalent of an AP Spitfire flamethrower. They both have plus one to BS attack, but the other one gets forward deploy 8 camouflage, decoy, and surprise attack, and remote presence, and it's like two less armor. Is that enough to justify?
I don't know. Anyway, I haven't even played a game yet.
So fair enough.
This week. My two lists that I painted for this week for tomorrow night when I'm playing Jordan is I have a 100-point list for the first, which is Annihilation. That's the first mission that we play. And I have in that list a Govad Killer Hacker duoed with a Sweet Sweet Asawira, because of course I do.
Right.
AP rifle, because of course I do, because it's Asawira. And they're freaking amazing. I thought about making the Asawira the lieutenant. I could do that. I might as well. I got a couple ghoulies in there. We got the NCO ghoulie with the grenade launcher, everybody's favorite. I was also thinking about taking the lieutenant plus one command token, because you can do that thing now where you trade for the command token, but the Asawira lieutenant felt more useful late game. And that way I can have a Glam Doctor as one of my second ones. And then the last of my few points is I have a, whatchamacallit, a pre-order in the form of a, where's the remote? What is it called? You only ever get one of these things, so I just painted one right away, the Finus. Because I want to have a 7-point order that I can always have. Oh, yeah. And then I took a Gazzy because I wanted to have smoke. And that's the 100-point list. And then the 150-point list, because we're going to try and get two games in tomorrow night, I end up switching out the Lieutenant Asawira to be a Dr. Asawira, because everyone likes having a doctor. And then I got Yara Haddad, because Yara Haddad's amazing, and gives me an MSV piece to go with that mutt, because you want the smoke MSV if you can. And then she can join with the two Ghulams and a Ghulam Hawker to make a 4-man fire team, which gives me a little bit of hitting stuff. Or I could, you could swap in the Asawira in there if I want to. I'm not sure if I want to do that, because we're playing Battlegrounds for our second mission.
Right.
And I think that's, she's 25. It's a couple more points to make the Asawira a doctor.
Oh, you're not bringing her with the strategic deployment?
I am, yeah.
Oh, she's 28 then.
Oh, she's 28. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. I think it's the mutts. The mutts are what I think I actually get a second mutt is what I did. I'm trying to figure out. I can't remember what exactly I changed.
Emirat.
Well, the ghoul, the, that's it. I think I took the chain rifle, Emirat, and the smoke grenade, boarding shotgun jammer. Or no, the chain rifle, smoke grenades. And then... Asper Doctor, Ghulam Doctor, and then I have a Ghulam of Hacker in there now too. And then it's what's her face? Where is she? Yara Haddad.
Medium infantry.
Is she medium infantry?
Yep.
My stuff's gotten unsorted again. What's the buttons I push again to make this his options?
It's, then go it's unit like sorting.
Yeah, I don't remember how to do it.
And then you go type. Unit name, publishing order, classification, ISC.
All right.
Click and drag goes around.
Options. Got language, it's vertical. What?
What?
It's not showing me that thing where I sort everything.
Click the drop down arrow. There's a little black arrow.
Oh, there it is. Unit sorting. And then it's publishing order.
Now you go type.
Yeah.
First, then unit name, then publishing order. Then it doesn't really matter after that.
Classification, I see. There we go. Okay, now it's actually doing it again.
Dan says he's here. Are you getting prompted to join?
Yeah. My browser got reset. Oh, Dan's here. See, Dan is now here. I have let him in to the room. It's Yara Haddad, medium infantry, street deployment, and lieutenant.
She's cool.
I think she's awesome.
I like arm 3 with bioimmunity.
Right? Everybody likes that.
I'm alive.
Hey, it's a Dan. A whole day of Dan.
I still think she's too expensive, but strategic deployment's worth it.
I think so too.
Should we talk about Yara?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only person I know with strategic, are there more people with strategic deployment?
Not that I can think of.
I can't think of any either. I know there used to be. I can't think of any off the top of my head right now. There definitely used to be more. God, I love the Ghulam NCO. It's such a great profile. For having NCO and a smoke grenade launcher and a grenade launcher, like it just does both. It's
so frustrating when you're playing like a faction that doesn't have really much NCO at all. And you're like, you get that? What the...
Yeah, and I love my Asawira doctor. He is fantastic. So that's the 150 points. And then I think I'm going to add, I think for 200 points, I think I add in my Fide. Like I start putting in like the kind of classic stuff at that point. Like I get the Fide, the TR bot after that. And that takes me to like 10 models. Oh, and a Daylami. There's a Daylami in there too, because you got to have... Gotta have Mr. Daylami to throw out some Panzerfausts. So that's it. That's what I'm working on, trying to get some games in. And the other big exciting piece of news is Torchlight got in operations decks. So I ordered all the ones that they had. I started all four. Yeah. Well, because like we keep going through this thing where like people can't find them. So I just want to have a stash while they can hopefully reorder them from the distributor so that when we're eventually out of them, I have them for people or I can bring them to events and have like loaners and stuff like that and just grab all of them I need. So I got that. And I got some more bases because I'm already out of like the first batch of assassins basically clean me out of all of those Psyocast bases, the basing pack alpha. So I got the gamma basing pack to go with it. And that way I can start basing up the rest of the stuff when it comes in. Like I was short one base. I didn't have a base for my Fide, but he's on that big like chunk of tactical stuff anyway. So it looks fine. It doesn't even look like I'm missing a base. And that's what I did this week. What about you guys?
I'm painting panel models. I don't even know what they are. One of them is Anisa's. The rest are sniper characters. I don't know. I don't know, actually. I don't even know how I got these. I just found them. I was moving and I unpacked a bunch of boxes and I found a bunch of models.
The random pano.
Yeah. I know, like, these two are Fusiliers.
Okay.
These are remotes. This is a Squallow. This is a Seraph. That's the Doctor one, the new Doctor, the Infirmer.
Wow.
The guy with the big cape billowing behind him and a Spitfire is a Nisus. And then there's one guy who's got his rear leg up on like a tactical rock holding what looks to be a multi-rifle. And then there's a girl who's leaning forward wearing like a jacket with a sniper. And I'm sure that they're panel models, but I don't know what they are.
Probably the new Winter Four guys.
One of them is probably the Winter Four because he's got a little bit of that extra jackety goodness. The other girl, I'm not as sure.
Well, they're appropriate for this season because Svarlahama has been destroyed. There's all kinds of ground fighting happening in Svarlahama. With what's going on currently in the news.
I don't have the Svarlheimer models, so I'm not sure how I got it. Because like I don't have anything that would come in a starter set.
I probably picked it up in the random lots of models that you buy from people. Where you're like, here's possible. A bunch of Infinity models, and you're like, hey, you're speaking my language, because there's nothing Owen likes more than a dumpster dive.
I didn't realize that Svarlheim had double Harris, for the record.
You sure do,
which
man.
Is surprising.
They're kind of like, I think they're a bit of a sleeper faction. Like, I think you could get some work done with them. They have some interesting, because they have so much like weird, like small link team stuff with Nisus and what are they called?
The Karu team is like,
yeah,
the meat potato team, but they can't be a core, so you don't get all your stats. It's crazy to me that there's nothing that can duo with Yotams in this faction. Because every other sub-faction gets their like identifiable tag, and they all get to duo with something. Sure. And they're the only one that doesn't. I guess the camo tags don't either, but...
Yeah. They're also the only thing that is as big as they are. So maybe they just don't think they need help. Could be what it is.
I suppose. I want a Squallow Mark II, but it sold immediately at the shop nearby.
Really? They're still for pre-order here. I don't think we have them in Ontario yet. I didn't see them for sale. I'm going to grab one this week.
Or maybe that one hasn't come in. It was just all the starters, like the reinforcement boxes.
I'm pretty sure that one's still. We're waiting on that one still.
Got it.
Yeah, I think the Squallow merch is not in yet. So just buy your time.
I
want to grab one.
Then
as
I'll
well.
Play NCA and duo Squallow 2 with Squallow 1.
Mm-hmm. That was my plan. I was going to put together my NCA and have like a double trouble list with that guy. I'm excited for the...
Do you go Squallow Mark 2 NCO and Squallow Mark 1 Lieutenant? you have the boss Squallow and his assistant, Mini-Me.
They could get a lot of orders.
Hit each other.
Yeah, that's five orders in
it's
one duo.
It's cheaper than double Squallow, though, because the Squallow Mark 2 is not as expensive. Just kind of, I think there's something there. I like the new
not the NCO one. The NCO one's like 71 points. I don't think there's a reason to bring him unless you're bringing... Actually, I don't think there's a reason to bring him unless you're not going to bring any other shooting piece in Pano, which is
No, the multi-marksman rifle one's 57.
100%. Yeah, but he's not the NCO, which is what I was talking about, the joke with the NCO guy.
Can't you take a regular squall NCO?
Yeah, you can.
Right, I'm just saying to get the same efficiency. Like, take that, take the NCO.
But then you have to bring a different lieutenant in Pano. And let's be honest. Are there any good lieutenants in Pano?
I'm sure there's lots of lieutenant options. You can get...
Other than Joan, who's the best lieutenant in Pano?
You get Uma, she's up 13.
Maximus.
You just take Maximus and have him lead all the armies. You go triple tag.
207 points for Squalo Mark II Maximus.
Yeah.
No. And I'm sure there's other models in Neoterra.
I mean, you take a Fusilier and then you roll Whip 12 to start the game.
That's it. And then just make, when the Fusilier dies, just make the Squalo Mark II the lieutenant. Be like, now I'm in charge.
He's not a remote.
No, yeah, oh, no, you can make the tag. Yeah, 100%. You can give it the tag. Why not? You can even give it to the NCO, and then he could just use his own lieutenant order with the NCO skill to walk around. Be like, off I go. Right? I like my Neoterra army. I should paint my new bolts. I have a bunch of new bolts that could go with my old bolts.
I was going to buy that reinforcements box that has the like reinforcement bolts in it, because I'd never bought bolts because
I don't have the special bolts for my bolts painted. I only have the original bolt like rifles. I think I had the Spitfire painted, that was it, and the Hacker. I didn't paint the sniper rifle, which is what I needed to paint.
But that classic Neoterra bolt gang is
so good. It's
for realsies.
Yeah, you had to play against that a whole bunch. Well, back when they had bioimmunity. That was my jam was those guys.
Yeah. I mean, there's a guy here who played it. I played against his bolts like two or three times. But it became like, haha, McMurrow.
Yeah, it's true.
I can see through your smoke. I don't care.
Cover, so neat.
I shoot my chain rifles at everyone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey. They're great up until the freaking werewolf comes flying across the wall and attacks them. So what are you doing?
Me? I just painted like 15 stone trolls for Age of Sigmar. And then I took 3D prints of river trolls. Wait, how many I have? Twelve. So I'm just kind of, these things have been like on my painting deck for like forever, and they take up a lot of space. And then finally, I'm just like, I'm motivated to paint them, so I'm going to paint. And then eventually, I'll get back and paint some of my ISS.
ISS is they look fantastic, and I'm excited to like see you actually like play with them and see what you think, because they're such an old school faction.
It's funny how like everyone's so demotivated. They're like, oh yeah, that was my first faction. They're not very good. I'm like, I played them in Moto 12, and I was like doing fine with them too. So I don't know.
I think they're fine. I think the problem is that people look at everyone else's new shiny toys and think that the older toys aren't as cool anymore. But the Sujan's still friggin' amazing. The Rishi Linked is still amazing. Cheap orders from all the exploding political dissidents is still amazing. I think there's still a great list.
Yeah, I have a list that I think has some legs, but I gotta actually put on the board. It's interesting how you think that after playing Infinity for a while, like we're coming up on a year now.
We are coming up very close to a year. Actually, in November it'll be a year. We're kind of on to years worth of episodes, actually. We are on episode, I think we count the total episodes, we're on episode 38, which means if we're going weekly, we're like, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months against getting on to 52.
Yeah, but like, it's like, I had to take the same journey I had with 012 of like, let's try this. That didn't work. Let's try this. Oh, there's a big gap there. Of course, Owen's the guy that always punishes it.
Yes, he will.
But not just Owen, the other players too. And so it's been like a little journey of like, I've only had like probably a handful of games. I need to get playing some more, but it's kind of like, okay, so that is bad because of that, or that is bad in that situation. If I bring that, there's a gap here that I need to fill, and all those little things. I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And so, no, it's good. Infinity's a great game. I like it.
Did you grab all the neat stuff? Or did you grab like Dakinis and Divas and Taowu and stuff like that so you can make the weird links?
I bought Taowu way back when I was collecting Drews.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a Dakini box, which you get your three Dakinis and a Deva.
Yeah. Good.
Which is good because then I can experiment a lot with more O12 stuff. I'm not sure if they're great. I probably won't bring them in O12, but you never know.
Well, they're definitely cool for if you're doing Harris's, and because you get double Harris in Imperial Service, right?
Yeah. I have a cheap Dakini.
Double Harris in the core.
Which.
Weasel Harris for you.
Yeah, I mean, just being able to have. Like, my Dakini link is what I'm like. Let me bring up this list.
It's crazy to me how often Dan and I, or collectively, will talk about Eugene and how I retain nothing every time we have these talks. Every time it's like, what does it do again? How does any of this work? What
are you calling?
you have the cat and the Xian, right? What else is in that faction? So there's a remote that has MSV.
It's a weird faction for fire teams, though, because it has like these weird mixes of like Aelif fire teams and then Aelif stuff.
Yeah.
Fire teams.
Whoa, and then, look like, at the all my wacky stuff.
Dude, the Law and Order fire team is so weird because it's like all the bounty hunters and CSUs, and then a Shen can also be in there. So you can have like the MSV heavy infantry guy and a Harris backed up by like two bounty hunters. Like, there's all kinds of weird.
That's what I did. Well, my last game against that one, I tried the two Xians. With a bounty hunter and a CSU each.
That's what I was going to say, right? And like, that's
super cheap.
You have the models for all that. And it's so cheap to get a burst 5 Shen, which is bananas, HMG Shen, or even like the multi marksman rifle one.
Okay. I'm about to shoot.
He died to the plasma sniper.
Yeah, marksman plasma sniper.
It's okay. He's our four. Oh, but he doesn't ever get covered.
Just smoke it next time. You need to bring things with smoke.
So I did bring smoke, but I got too cocky.
Doesn't matter because the dumb remote has sixth sense.
Well, I know. So, you don't shoot. I'm just saying to get around it. Like, go send something else. Like, send a motorized bounty hunter duos to go.
Oh, they were all dead by that point.
I was just going to say, because you can duo motorized bounty hunters with the Sujans, which I think is also really funny.
Which he did do, and that was where the Cascuda went.
Amazing.
should have gone first.
Wow. Anyways,
so I have a link of like, so I got my main group with like the Quangxi whatever blah blah blah, but then my and a Garuda in there because I feel like you need a drop troop and Garuda is pretty cool, but I just have a Dakini multi-sniper to kind of be like, hey, I'm hanging out looking at the board and I got an Evo hacker, so like effective yes 14, that's good. But also, I have a Dakini paramedic, just because Whip 13 moves 6-4. You know, he'll just hide on the rooftop, being part of the cheap thing, part of the fire team, and then he can wake up later in the game and roam, go push a button.
Yeah, he's fantastic. The Dakini, like, even with all the high fizz heavy infantry and stuff, so just having him as like a sleeper link to shoot my kids and guys can be really good.
Yeah, because I don't think he has anything to actually medic. But it's just kind of like a cheap specialist.
Yeah.
For like 15 points, you're a 6-4 movement with 13.
6-4 with mimetism too.
And mimetism, yeah. So that's cool. And then I just have my Celestial Guard Lieutenant hanging out just on a rooftop with the sniper. Just being like, please don't come kill me.
I think you're going to really like ISS because they have such weird fire teams and such weird list
building. I haven't been really playing. I've been trying to like play more remotes and it just hasn't been working. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
But, I'm really embracing the double
first instinct. Your first instinct for bullshit didn't play out, and you're like,
nope, it rarely does. I don't understand these people who are like, they look at all the rules and go, yeah, this is the list I want to
build. This is the best way.
And I'm like, I gotta play the crap out of all the models.
I mean, that's how you get off meta sleeper lists that people don't think should work and then go and, you know, win whole events because no one's ready for it. You chase the meta and then you end up just doing the same thing as everybody else. And it just comes down to who's luckier, who goes first. Whereas if you take risks and do weird lists, people aren't.
There's nothing that annoys me more of when I'm playing against someone who's like a good knowledge of the game and they look at your list and they go, okay. They're just like, okay, I've played against this before. Like, I know the list. And you're like, It's just like, ugh. I hate that feeling.
Why?
Of being the person that will, like, because it's like, I want to be able to give my opponent something to, like, figure out. And when they've already figured it out, kind of thing.
Oh, I see.
It's disappointing when you realize that what you thought of, too, is something people have already thought of.
There's nothing more sad.
You feel like you own it. Yeah.
When you see, like, a Magic tournament and the exact same deck is playing against each other in the finals, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, or 40K tournament where everyone's playing the same army at the top table.
Yeah, that. Or even War Machine to be, like, the same lists. Insane, like, one or two little variations. But, like, yeah, there just seems to be... Again, I like bringing stuff that a lot of people don't typically like.
It
gives me more leeway to be able to play into my strengths or counterplay things.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
I also take things that are like that.
I like going down the list and maxing out AVAs one unit at a time until I find one that's stupid enough to work. You can't bring four Liu Jings. They're bad. All right. Do it. Until I see somebody play it, I don't believe you. Dan, do it. It'll work. They won't see it coming.
I'll tell them all it's coming. And then...
You can tell them and it won't make any difference. They're going to be like, what is that? And you're like, it's a drop troop. And they're going to go, anyway, go take the objective.
Go get them, boys. Put your skates on, Gordy. You're going in.
She's a chain of commander, specialist operative veteran.
Right.
So I got her as the fifth member, or him, I don't know what it is. I got the model somewhere. Fifth member of a Quangxi link. And so you still get the plus one. So then that pushes her to BS-14. And with a breaker combi rifle.
It's true.
So I don't know. We're going to try it out. Because she's got sensor. And so like any kind of... And she's got dodge plus three. So she's Fizz-14 dodging. So being able to dodge to a corner of something and discover shoot. She'll be discovering on 19s. And so it's like... I just have been issues with camo recently, so I'm like, nah, I want something that can just like, bah.
You just see it.
And then with a breaker combi rifle, and then she's got the triangulated fire. And so if there's like a weird mimetism sniper somewhere, it's like, I'm like to throw it out.
He's great piece.
I wish triangulated fire was a more valuable skill.
It used to be.
Like, the number of games that you see it pop in are, like, really rare. Like, it's not like it never happens. It's just, like, I can count on one hand the amount of times a triangulated fire was done not as just, like, a meme.
Effectively, yeah.
Like, I have nothing else to do, and if he moves, he's going to die, so I guess I triangulate fire. You know, like, okay, sure.
There's a couple heavy infantry pieces, like the crane, that can do it, where you're, like... If he's already stand up fighting somebody at like crazy mods, you know what I mean? He can do it and it can often pay off. But as the sensor bot having it, there's not a ton of value because he's probably just going to be dead against the thing that he would want to use it against anyway already.
Yeah, I think with the combi rifle thing, is kind of like it's definitely a backup rule of like, You have your long range pieces. I got a Hsien CN heavy machine gun and the multi sniper. And so it's like I have things that fight long range. And so then, but it's like that weird late game where there's like someone across the board and you're like, you barely see them and all you have is a combi rifle and you're like, -6 plus you're in cover, -9. You're like, rah! Just roll some dice, hopefully get lucky. You can instead, you know, triangulate fire and then maybe pick off somebody. I don't know. It's an idea. I've never used it, but, you know, maybe. I recently went down throughout the list of every single weapon in the game and try to organize every weapon into their respective range bands that share range bands.
Right.
And I'm just astounded at how big of the plus three range is on a sniper rifle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you get lower burst, but damn. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like nothing even comes close to having as good range as
the board, basically. It's just not good inside 16.
Right. But like HMG,
it used to be worse than N3, because in N3 it didn't get to plus three until 24, like the missile launcher does. And so it was easy to like get inside of its like bad window. They weren't quite as useful in N3, but in N4 they're fantastic because they're just like 16 to the end of the world.
Yeah. You can't really outrange the sniper.
Yeah.
So you gotta get close.
Yeah, so those, 16.
Yeah.
Send the Cascuda.
I mean, you could also just try to like overwhelm it with dice. You get like, oh, I got five versus your two, and hope for the best.
Well, I think with that, it's time to hit the mailbag. We did get some new mail, which is great. We have enough for an evening's discussion, but please go and obviously add some new stuff when we post the link, and link will be in the description for all the podcast episodes and also in our Tactical Awareness channel on Discord. So let's dive in and see what we got for this week. The first is from Era Linus. It's for everybody. It says, what unique terrain settings would you like to see? Bonus points for faction theme boards. Things like the spice train on Burak come to mind. I've been thinking about that lately, actually, because I actually really like the concept of the QAZ creatures. Like, I like the concept of having like active terrain, if that makes sense. Like automated defense systems on buildings, or laser gates, or things where you have like not moving walls, but you know what I mean? Like where there's like, it feels like the table's a little bit more alive than it is. The tables always feel kind of abandoned in Infinity. And I
kind of, that there's like, no deployable camera for line of fire is weird to me in Infinity.
Yeah. Like,
that there's no mission of a hack the cameras to turn them off.
Oh my god, that'd be so cool if you like placed cameras and you could like hack them to act like a sensor or something like that. You know what I mean? Like
man. They function as repeaters and you gain line of sight through them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so all of a sudden it's like, ooh, I gotta turn that off. And you make it so that they're like pointlessly durable but very vulnerable to hacking.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
know if you can shoot
computers,
it.
But I like the idea of being like sent, like the old sniffer rules. You know what I mean? Where like you can't necessarily hack through them, but you can see through them somehow. I love that idea.
But what would line of sight give you?
That's why I was like,
a little bit. Line of sight would give you dodges for one thing, meaning you could react without a penalty because you could see them.
That's true.
It would also prevent things like going back into camo states. It would prevent things like. There's a like, it's not necessarily what it would do for you. It prevents a ton being in line of sight of people, like allow for a ton of like movement reactions every time something activates in line of sight of the camera, and also prevents a huge number of like skills from being
say goodbye to your holo echo list.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you wouldn't automatically regain your holo echoes. You wouldn't be able to go back into a camp state anywhere near where it could see you.
Even like cautious movement.
You can make discover checks through it. That's what I would have them do. Allow you to make discover checks through them.
Ooh.
Right? That could be awkward. Yeah.
And then do another one for like a movable door or something.
Exactly,
like that.
Yeah. Like security systems engaging. Where it's not necessarily hostile, but like it makes things like order intensive, or it like creates stuff like that on the board. I think more stuff like that where the terrain feels a bit more alive. Like it's supposed to be like a hyper security state. You know what I mean? Like you're supposed to be in like the future where it's Star Trek doors and stuff like that. Like I would love to see things that like not move, but like, you know how like in Mario there's like lifting platforms, like things that go up. I would love to see train that does that, like it just changes position, where like there's like lifting elevators and things like that. I think that would be cool. Things you can interact with, like raise or lower a bridge, you know, that kind of an idea.
Go up an elevator, but then the elevator is up and you can't go up again until it goes
down. Or like just big like lifting platform, you know what I mean? Like the kind of like loading dock platforms that like it would like raise basically part of the battlefield up. That kind of stuff would be awesome.
Or like oftentimes when you have like the armory in the middle, or like for whatever mission that you require the big 8-inch block in the middle, if you had like a button or two, like make it even kind of on both sides, where if you like push the button, like two of the doors close and the other two open. And so it's like a lengthwise or widthwise kind of entry and movement, but also will change line of sight.
Mm-hmm. Well, even like a tram system moving through. You know, like tram cars arrive and you have to like they basically move during the game and they can run you over. Like I would love to see stuff like that. Just to make
throw some dudes on top of it and they're like, send it.
Yeah, man. There was a mission in N2 that was basically like a train extraction where that happened, where like the train moved around you and you were on the train. And it was like a big train fight. There's a train piece actually, I think, from maybe it was MicroArt. But it was a very cool mission. That kind of stuff. That's what I would like to do. I just like to have the table feel more alive. It would be cool as like a battlefield effects deck kind of thing, where like they add to these operations decks to have a thing like that, a theme deck where it's like Nomad Starship deck, or it's, you know, City Streets deck or engineering deck, and just have like cool train pieces or cool another pack, kind of like the ITS mission pack, where there's like little interactable things like cameras, like Owen said. A bit like the Batman terrain. Did you ever play Batman, Dan?
No.
So in Batman, one of the things that you would always place at sort of each game is you place manhole covers and you place lampposts. And the idea is in Batman, it was always nighttime. So range was always 12 inches. Or if something's standing in the light, you can always draw line of sight to it. So you would like strategically, each of you would strategically deploy like lampposts that you could like kind of have areas that there'd be line of sight to. And then the manhole covers, you could kind of teleport through. So you could like long skill go into the sewers and then pop up from another manhole cover.
That's fun.
Yeah, just little things like that, like baked into the game, I think would be neat. All right, next one's from Colonel Spawns. That's for all of us. It says, I run a Tunguskan crime syndicate, legitimate business operation, but I have a problem with dogs turning up at my crime scenes, legitimate business endeavors. I'm thinking of hiring... Father Lucian Sforza as a dog warden, since he has a bow rifle, nothing to do with wanting an excuse to get the new model. One of his options is holo mask plus holo projector. What's the best way to use this combo? So the thing with holo mask plus holo projector is they basically give you away right away. I think the holo projector is optional though, isn't it?
You don't have to do it.
Yeah.
So you could start holo mask and then later on choose to activate the holo projector after you revealed yourself, I think is the thing there. Let me just pull up Sforza, because I'm pretty sure that's the way that works.
With holo projector, the problem is you kind of have to actually fool your opponent, you need the models of something that you would take three of in your list.
No, because you can just choose not to use it.
No, but I mean, when you deploy, you can make it a shell game.
Sure, but you can also just make it a shell game later to gain, to like clear mines and stuff like that. I think I would probably not use, is what I'm saying, is not use.
I think it's a very useful deployment skill.
Okay, defend that statement.
Well, it's like you can put things like standing up, just looking at things. And then when they walk, they're like, do I shoot it? Do I not? It's probably a holo projector, but it might not be.
Right, he's talking specifically to fight dogs, though.
Right, but that means he needs to not get murdered by those dogs.
Sure.
So, like, what do you pretend Sforza is that exists within Tunguska that a dog won't go to kill?
Right.
Right. Because, like, that's the question. And I think if you're going to do holo, like, the fact that he has holo echo, you're not using it because, like, oh, you're trying to fool them into, like, running into what they think is a group of guys. It's... I'm trying not to have Sforza die instantly because the dogs know that he's the guy to kill. Mm-hmm. So, like, if Sforza pretends to be, like, I don't know, three Securitate with Fearbox mixed mm-hmm. into a link of Securitate, or at least nearby one that also have Fearbox, and it's like, okay, just go away. Like, don't come after me. Oh, he's going to come after me to clear up my backline. That's okay. These guys are, like, it's a confused mess of who's the real ones or not. And then he's like the very far left one off the corner. That's my thinking.
Yeah, mine is more, if you're taking him to fight dogs, you don't even bother with the holo mask. Unless, and here's a question.
You mean holo echo?
He said holo echo. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. And well, he said how do you use the combination of those two things? My thought was starting the holo mask as something innocuous, and then reveal yourself and go dog hunting. Use something else as the base. Don't use the guy who's the stick to have the dogs run into, save him for your active turn and then go kill the dogs after they've done what they're going
to do. No, I agree. But then
if you're going first, then just have him be innocuous and then have him walk towards the dogs.
Right, like, but my thing is, like, what in Tunguska is innocuous that a dog wouldn't come after?
Right. And I would
that
say
is size too.
Interventor or anything like that. Like,
because interventors are hacking device plus or lieutenants. So I would send my dog against an interventor because he's immune to everything.
You send a dog against, sure, okay. So
I mean, then, this is the case I'm making is like, if he's got to watch out for those dogs, you want him to hide.
Securitate. Like,
yeah, there you go. Okay. So yeah, we're on the same page. And then why not just be three Securitates?
Because that might give you away if you have a full order count.
But then the problem is that,
I mean, it'll give away that some of the Securitates so that you have are fake.
My point is, okay, sure. So my point is that you get the surprise attack out of Hollow Mask or Hollow Echo. So why bother giving away that there's three of something somewhere, they're all within eight of each other, when you could just be one innocuous thing?
They only have to be within eight of one other one, not both. Sure. They can be 16 inches apart, which is huge. For the record, just clarifying.
Well, they have to be within eight of, they can't. They have to be within eight of the one that you've called out as being the one.
That's not true.
Mark that. Yeah, you do.
Unless it's changed, but that was never the case before.
No, you're both right. So the person in the middle is the real one. And yeah, way up to the right, inches to the right.
That gives away who's the real one. They could be 16 apart, but they have to be in coherency of the real one, which is why you can never have them that far apart.
You can, but it just, if they sniff it out, that's a three of the same, that shouldn't be the three of the same, and they know the middle one's the real one, because there's no other legal deployment.
Mm-hmm. I have a question about Hollow Mask, because I'm looking at the skill right now.
No, shut the fuck up. You guys are both wrong. Each Hollow Echo must be in coherency with another Echo, regardless of who the real bearer is.
Oh, there you
go. Go away. I know how this works. I've played an entire list of nothing but this. You can do it where you have the real guy is 16 inches away from the other Echo, and they're just a line across your back line.
Oh, that makes it way better.
They're so obnoxious to deal with. But the only requirement
is that's your problem with your remotes too, Dan.
Yeah. Now the challenge is if he kills the middle one, the far one goes away.
Yeah, immediately just disappears.
I'm not sure if it's immediate, but as soon as that guy...
No, it's canceled because they can't make the perimeter check anymore.
The issue is when do you have to do that, right? So like coherency is only checked.
Cancellations is whenever the cancellation happens. So if one of the cancellations is it is no longer in perimeter of a
extra. No, the cancellation is only when activating as an ARO or order.
So if you don't ARO,
you can continue to have two.
Hollow Protector bearer guys. Breaks coherency with the other Hollow Echoes. So if they break coherency, then it's canceled. The whole state's canceled.
Where are we reading?
I'm reading the final bullet point of cancellation. The Hollow Protector bearer breaks coherency with the other Hollow Echoes. So if there's no coherency to the bearer of like the real one with the
other Hollow Echoes, what if they pretend to be chair killers?
There you go. You could do
they
that.
Have MSV, which dogs do not like.
Yep.
Because they get free shots on the way in with a shock marksman rifle.
Sure. You might avoid it, yeah.
And it's not unlikely that you take three cheer killers, right?
So my next question, sorry, I did have a question before. There's no canceled. So if you declare an order that is an entire order, you cancel Hollow Mask. But if you are put on suppression in the strategic phase at the start of the turn, are you declaring that order or are you gaining a state?
You declared the order, which is to do suppression.
No, suppression. If you're not being given an order.
What?
Right? So you are not performing a skill. You are gaining the state of suppression. Do you understand the difference?
Suppressive fire is a skill, is an order.
Is a state though, and you're not being given the order because
this is when you use a command token at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I see. You're saying,
can you know what I'm saying? Like, you're gaining the state from it. Yeah, exactly. You're gaining the state for a command token use. Does it cancel Hollow Mask? I don't think it does.
What states can you be in while also in Hollow Mask?
It doesn't. Yeah. but that's irrelevant. It doesn't say that the cancellation is by changing state. There's no like call out for it. It's just not part. It's the only thing that cancels the call mouse is anything. It's under the cancellation tabs. That's why I'm looking at it. So I think it doesn't. Cancellation is if he declares an attack. So like the suppression would, when you make the attack, you would lose it, if that makes sense. But
in a row, yeah.
But you could be looking innocuous on suppression, but actually be sporcist. That's the thing I'm saying.
Which is right? A rude awakening.
Which is a very rude awakening. Yeah. Exactly, right? So like your Securitate is suppressing, the dog's like, go for it, and runs in, and then all of a sudden you're fucking Sforza. that's where I was like thinking about it. The only cancellations are you make a saving roll, summon, enter silhouette contact, you declare an entire order other than cautious movement, or you declare an attack. And then if you ever become impetuous, defense or whatever. And I just want to look at command tokens again, strategic command token use.
It says you enter the state. It doesn't say you spend an order.
That's right. Okay, then it doesn't. Yeah, because you don't perform, you aren't performing a skill.
Wait, can you do it on an echo? Can you put an echo in suppression?
Don't see why you would, because you can't, I don't think, because executive use.
One trooper can activate. Yeah,
because they're not true. Oh, no, they're considered troopers. Can activate the suppressive fire state along with their peripherals if they are a controller following the activation rules for the state. Yeah, I guess. That's a strange corner case. Yeah, let people fight.
There you go. There's an answer. FAQ on the suppressive fire state. When making a strategic use with a command token to place a trooper in suppressive fire, how does this interact with marker states, nearby mines, etc.? The trooper has not declared an order and will not trigger any enemy deployments. However, any states, firestream, membership, etc., will be canceled by declaring suppressive order.
There you go. So you don't trigger anything, but
it doesn't matter.
The mask state then. There we go.
Yeah. If you're suppressing, you're announcing who you are.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So reading the rule, but then the FAQ will override that.
So I think the solution, if you're running into dog problems with your Tunguska list, is put your bring a unit of Papanauticas and this guy. And the Papanauticas just line up with their little guns, and they will absorb that first wave of rifle shots. And then he'll kill them on the active turn.
And then just send the Sforza.
And then Sforza will go hunt them down. And you'll lose no orders.
Because otherwise you could just pretend to be three other Puppetmonicas.
Right. I mean, now the trick is pretend to be three Puppet Masters.
There you go.
And now it's like, they know Sforza's there.
Now there's four Puppet Masters on the table.
But there's four hackers of Puppet Masters.
That's right. Done. Done.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
That's the big brain thinking right there from Owen. Everybody be a puppet master.
Yeah. But see, that's like super, just like to go back to my original argument, it was like, you just have more models on the board, which makes it a shell game. And even though it announces that Sforza is there somewhere, it like they could potentially waste a couple orders.
This also protects the puppet master, who is also a target.
Yeah, it's a double bonus there actually, because they're going to try and kill that guy to kill the Pupnauticas without having to actually fight them. So having four of them on the table all of a sudden when there's a dog on the loose coming after you is actually a good idea. So if you're using Pupnauticas, that's actually a really good point Owen's making, that you can use forces. They're ablative to each other basically.
Yeah, because every order you spent killing a Pupnautica is a wasted order. It's so brutal. They're
so brutal to try and kill. I don't think Dan's ever played against them.
Nope.
Well, it's because like everyone in this local area has said that they're not very good. And I'm like, you brought Max Harris every game we've ever played. Why would you not want just another one?
Yeah.
That doesn't lose any orders.
It never dies. That can't fall apart. That just
six wounds for 36 points. Like
bonkers. It's real good.
Yeah.
Wait, they're all, two each?
Yeah, they all have a battle ravage state.
They're all like one battle ravaged, and they all are dirt cheap for what they are. And yeah, I think they're remote, so I think you can support wear them.
I think they are remote, and they can be support weared. Get into the rules of how peripheral control works, which is like in subsection 4. of the peripheral rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, so these guys have to be in coherency with each other all the time.
They're like, yeah, like, that's right. They're the ones that have to be near each other, basically. They have to be in like a fake fire team. They have their own weird.
They actually function more like a coordinated order again and again, where there's one guy who becomes the spearhead. It's something.
I don't know, man. They're whip 14. The whip 14.
And there's an FO one too.
I know, yeah, with a shotgun and a flash pulse that uses his whip 14, and they dodge on 13s because they have plus dodge. Oh, they're so stupid. I hate these things.
Yeah, because before it used to make them like a little Harris, but they don't get the Harris bonuses anymore. Instead,
they just
what they
get
got was
in plus one burst.
They just get plus one burst. So when that little guy runs around with his
and the absolute medium has counterintelligence for 12 points.
Yeah, yeah, these guys are, and yeah, you can marksmanship them.
Yeah, you can, because they're remotes. They're stupid.
So he shoots at BS-15 with his AP marksmanship rifle. And remember, he's only size one, so like half the walls in the terrain boards we play on, he can just walk around.
He just without,
with impunity.
Until he wants to fight you. And then he can't climb over the wall, so he has to go around like an asshole. But he's 6'4", so who cares?
Yeah.
Like
so anyway go buy Pupnautica. We've completely lost the thread of this guy's question.
There you go. How do you make Sforza work against dogs? Buy Puppet Masters.
Yeah, Sforza and Puppet Masters, you know, poor Puppet Masters on the table, and then everything would be great. Question three, Howlinner, for all of us, how do you deal with a deployment role, especially when it forces you to deploy as a model instead of a marker? So as a assassin player, how should I play my Fide if I don't succeed the whip roll?
Why on earth would you ever roll the whip roll?
I wouldn't bother, yeah. I would never.
I mean, I've done it.
Close enough.
But
you're so close to where you, like, the fact that you're just at the deployment line, you might as well be in the deployment zone. Like, I don't see.
To clarify the rule for how this works, when they have that impersonation state, they're able to deploy anywhere so long as they're outside of the opponent's deployment. You can do a whip roll in order to land in your opponent's deployment. There's a few missions with like the 16-inch deployment that you maybe make a case for that. Or when you bring three, which I've done.
And then you don't care.
Then it's like two of them are going to be where I want. And if I get the other one, I win. If I don't.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've got two back. I got two safeties, basically.
Yeah.
Yep, agreed. I don't know why you would. If I was making that roll, I think it's because I'd have a backup. Like you just said, like, I would have three fides, and one would be the one that makes the test, and everybody else just goes home. Is it just a straight test, too? It's whip 15.
Yeah, there's no mod. It's just a whip 15 roll.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Grandma just shows up. Yeah, it's real fun time. Because like what you might do is have like the two DA ones deploying the line, and then the mine.
It's Elgel. Elgel is the other one. They don't have a mine layer one. It's a shame.
They don't all have mines.
No, I just mean they don't have mine layer.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. Because I used to do that with Shazvasti, where I would roll the dice to get my Speculo into your deployment and put a mine in your deployment before you deploy. Just be like, you go, loser. That building's mine.
I'm fun staying outside this 16-inch circle.
Yo, you wanted me to deploy first? Oh, sweet. Well, you get the bad side with the two buildings, and that building has a mine and a Speculo Killer in it off the bat.
That's right. Yeah, I'm nested in this one. You probably don't want to come up here.
Yeah.
It's all with the psychological warfare, though. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, it's Chabelle. And then, because the other one's not even like a real assassin. What's his face? Not Algebra, the other guy.
Other guy.
The one who, Yasbir.
Oh, Yasbir. Yeah, no, he's a little baby.
Yeah, he's a little guy. Just a little
He's an Upjun. He's actually more like a Farzans than he is an assassin, is funny.
Yeah.
I guess to expand it, though, rather than the Fides and people with impersonation, guys with camo who have infiltrate, I usually don't roll it unless either they're like grunts who are dirt cheap, and if they fail their roll, it's like, he's just an order in the background.
The cost isn't that high because he's just a guy. He's going to go in your pawn zone anyway.
He now watches for the
Raziat. That's his new job. He goes and sits in the back line, looks for parachutists.
the two that I think are the dicey ones are if you want to use the JSA Oniwabons or Kitsune.
Yeah.
Like if you use Shinobu. Because these are guys who both have a plus three to that role. Oh, after all the mods. And they're expensive. And if you screw up, they go from not being on the board to being on the board and revealed.
Yeah.
And they're very expensive and they're not fast enough to get back in. My only advice there, and like the same thing goes for like Uxia. Is it Uxia the one that deploys?
Yeah. She can. I mean, anyone with infiltration can screw infiltrate the opponent.
Well, she has the plus six.
She has a bonus. Yeah, she has a bonus.
Yeah. Uxia has it at deployment plus six. And like for those ones, I would make sure that whatever job you need them to do for your list, someone else can do it from your deployment. So like if your list is like light on having a sniper or something that can fight like a TR bot or a linked HMG or something like that, and you don't have a weapon that can fight it outside of its range from your deployment, you should consider bringing a missile launcher or a sniper so that you can get out of its range band to fight it at the beginning. If your infiltrate guy fucks up and doesn't land right inside them and killing them right off the bat.
Yeah, you have a backup to do the thing that you're requiring a dice roll to get to do. Like, and sometimes the payoff can be huge. So it's
worth it. Because that way, if the dice roll works, great. You wasted a little bit on the missile or the sniper that's in the backfield, but hey, he's still a missile or a sniper.
He's still a 40 degrees overlooking, yeah.
But if he's your whole plan and he fails, then it's like, yee.
Well, to be fair, that's the first rule of Infinity is never have one plan do a job because they're gonna go sideways. Like that's if you have 12 plans during the course of the game, you know half of them are gonna go sideways. You'd have a backup for them because you're gonna fail the dice roll or you're gonna lose the guy to an arrow or some piece you didn't see.
That's why you max AVA.
Why shouldn't I have three Sonic Butts?
Why don't I bring two?
If the AVA says three, why don't I have three? Why don't I have two Yotas?
Yep. So, you need them.
I mean, anyone that doesn't need two Yotas, they're missing out, really.
Yeah, right. It's a fun list.
Dude, Imperial Army is the worst for max AVAs.
What do you mean?
Like, you could bring, like, three Mwangs. Or you can bring four of any heavy infantry. It's like the big expensive guys.
You're
like,
oh, yeah, you can go deep if you want, yeah.
Do it.
I got two of a lot of them. No, I'm going to ISS for now.
Oh. We'll do it with ISS.
Well, I mean, when your core five orders costs you, what, a controller and 20 points, you can afford to take some big boys in that first list. If you can have two Shujans, have two Shujans.
I can buy a second one.
Motorcycle cop. Motorcycle rent-a-cop. Well, that's it. We are donezo. Because this was a catch-up show, because I now have my voice back, and we got our Dan, and we were just planning on doing the mailbag. And it's already 11:30. So, good job, fellas. We did another one. I'm excited for next week when I will actually have my operations deck. Have you guys gotten your hands on those yet?
Wouldn't it be nice?
Oh, Jesus. Well, they're in Canada because they were horrible here, and I cleaned out Torchlight. So there will be an operation deck somewhere in this conversation for the next episode's podcast. We can look through the operations thing, and I'm looking forward to playing endurance missions, the procedurally generated one. That's my most excited I had to try a new Infinity game from this season is to use that deck. So it will be resilience operations, that's what it's called. Resilience operations overview / download, as a hopefully we'll be able to get a game in of resilience operations this weekend. So thanks for listening and night, everybody.
Buenas noches.